Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you.
That's right, me.
Back, yeah. Cody is back from hernia surgery. He said he's doing well, obviously.
I want this glue to flake off. They're just putting glue in the stitches. Well, like, they don't do stitches. Now, surgical glue, and it eventually flakes away.
The stitches dissolve?
It's just surgical glue. So the stitches are not even really inside. No, yeah, those.
But the inside ones just dissolve away, right? Yeah.
The same kind as like when they put stitches in my eyes when I was a kid and I had like eye surgery.
Okay.
You could like see them and they just dissolve away.
Interesting.
Probably makes people uncomfortable to hear eye stitches, but that's what they did when I had lazy eye surgery when I was a kid.
Yeah, I've told you I had when I was very, very little, I had staples on my head because I can't. That was just what
I'd have my head sewed up.
But Cody seems to be moving around fine. He's asking, around the office, he's asking everybody to carry stuff for him, fill up his water for him. It's kind of crazy.
Hold the door open.
Yeah, it's bizarre. We got James producing for Drew today. We hope to have Drew back maybe Friday, if not Monday. And we'll get the full crew back. But we appreciate James producing the show today and for sure tomorrow as well. We'll get to trash of the day here in about 15, 17 minutes or so. Reminder today at 11:45, going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and we believe Josh Simmons. That's like to be determined, but we believe Josh Simmons is expected maybe to speak with the media for the first time since he's returned. I thought he played really, really well against the Denver Broncos and should make you feel good still long term. But obviously, the absence was significant and unusual, whatever the reason may be. I don't know what he's going to share. He didn't have to share anything, but it'll be interesting to see.
I'm kind of curious.
Will he provide any insight? At the very least, just how he's currently feeling and if it was if it was a family member, whether it was him, whatever, we'll find out. But be interested to hear from Josh Simmons. He did not speak after the game. My understanding is that was intentional, meaning they were like, hey, we're going to have him speak to everybody on Wednesday, so he's not available.
To hear from him.
So that's coming up around 11:45. You guys can interact with us, 913-586-7965. Video stream also up and running, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and X. All right, so I wanted to talk about Travis Kelce a little bit, because not just because of yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it's been, 3 days, I don't know, I'm off track of the days since they played in Denver. That was Sunday, by the way. He was awesome. He set the franchise record for touchdowns, and I wish we could have spent more time talking about that, but that's the nature of what happens when you lose and when it was such a devastating loss in terms of the standings and playoff perspective and all of that. Otherwise, we probably would have celebrated it more. And it's one of those things, when he does retire, he will be celebrated even more. But is it a problem that the best offensive weapon currently still seems to be Travis Kelce? Now, he is having an awesome season. Fantasy football-wise, he's the number one tight end.
He's on pace to be 1,100-yard receiver again and double-digit touchdowns.
50 catches, 631, and 4 touchdowns. He's having a great, final season in the NFL individually. Now, I know he doesn't give a damn about those stats. He wants to win a Super Bowl, wants to get to the playoffs, wants to win the division, all that. But is it a problem that at his age, that as great as he's playing still, that it seems in the biggest moments, the only guy that Mahomes is really trusting is him?
Huge problem.
Yeah.
Huge problem. And you know me, I love Travis Kelce. Matter of fact, I think while you were gone, Gold, I advocated for, it's insane he shouldn't retire. Like, are you going to tell me you're still a 10 touchdown, 1,100-yard wide, tight end, and you think you got to hang it up? No, man, keep playing. Doesn't matter to me. All good. You're still better than 95% of every tight end on this earth. There'd be like maybe two I'd take in an individual season above you, three, Bowers and Warren maybe, in an individual season right now above you. and you're outperforming even those guys. So, like, the Travis Kelce part is not so much the issue. It's that the other wide receivers are not as advertised. We sat around here and we spent a lot of time saying, just wait till they're all healthy. This could be, and I said, this could be the number one offense in football and very well might be when these guys are back. And here's the issue. Xavier Worthy is either having a sophomore slump and has not developed any further as a wide receiver and is stuck in neutral, or simply just playing worse because he's hurt and that shoulder is bothering him more than he's leading on and it's causing him to play worse. And I think it's fairly obvious that Rashee Rice does not have the same burst he had pre-injury. And that's not weird. And we talked about this in an offseason, and I had some people tell me, no, it's fine, Gold, because, well, he'll have a full year to recover. Like, guys, the first year after catastrophic knee injuries are the same. No, it's typically the second year. Rice isn't getting the separation. Worthy hasn't developed. Hollywood seems kind of useless. And so, yes, it is a problem that Travis Kelce is their number one thing. And it probably leads back to why people want more Tyquan, and I don't think that's unfair, especially over Hollywood or some others.
Well, the thing with
Tyquan, Rice is just playing too much.
The thing with Tyquan is more just that, once again, the only player that Mahomes seems to be able to connect deep down the field with is Tyquan Thornton. That's it. Him and Worthy, this is not just this year, this goes back to last year, have not been able to get on the same page. And let me reiterate that phrase, because I tweeted out during the game, Mahomes and Worthy can't get on the same page. And I got about five responses saying, it's Mahomes' fault. Do we not, like, Mahomes saying players aren't on the same page is a pretty universal thing. It means it's both of their faults. It means that Mahomes is overthrowing him. It also means that last year, Xavier Worthy was running out of bounds. Like, it
is
they're not in sync. They're not on the same page. I thought that was just a very common thing to say. And they're not. But they're on the same page when it's Mahomes and Thornton. So I would like to see that. My thing is, when you look at the weapons, while on one hand, we should be able to say what a texter is saying, which is that, hey, the good news is that they're able to have different weapons step up every game. That's the point. I don't think they have, though. They should. We were all excited. We were all excited when they finally were going to have Rice and Worthy and Brown and Kelce and Thorne and all these guys on the field at the same time. And with the exception of, I would say, the Washington game, if we're being honest, maybe the Raiders game, the biggest moments, the guy that Mahomes trusts, the only guy it seems like he trusts, is Travis Kelce. We're back to where the square one.
I think some of that is because in these biggest moments, and in that game against Denver, they were in these, like, third and mediums a lot. Third and seven, third and eight goal. They were kind of stuck in these, like, third and mediums a lot, at least based on where they were before. You, as Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, cannot have a lower yards per target than Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster. Are you kidding? The problem with Travis Kelce being their number one option is Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy either can't get open downfield, or Mahomes doesn't see them when they're getting downfield, because everything's at the line of scrimmage. There are, like, three things in this offense I don't want to see ever again. One is, I can't have every Rashee Rice target be for 4 yards. Can he get the ball 11 yards down the field? Please. Like, it's not crazy. And I don't need to see one more tunnel screen to Travis Kelce. He's been awesome this year. I can't see one more middle screen where we try to get Travis Kelce.
They haven't done that in a couple weeks, though.
They had one in the Denver game that they tried to run a screen. Yes,
to Kelce?
Terrible. Yes.
I don't remember that
play.
And
so, like, you don't want
it. I don't remember that
play. They ran a screen to Travis Kelce in that
game. I don't remember that one.
I don't need to see that anymore, and I need Rashee Rice to get his ass down the field. And here's the thing. I do think genuinely part of Rice's problem is that if you look at the stats, he is not getting very good separation and nowhere close to the level of separation he was getting the first four games of last year or in his rookie season. I'm assuming that it's a pretty logical assumption that that's because he's not the same physical specimen that he is yet. And then if you give him a full year, that their long-term wide receiver plans aren't screwed. I'm not saying blow this whole thing up and go find different guys. I'm saying that some of this could just be related to injury. But yes, Gold, if your initial question of, is it a problem that Travis Kelce is their number one wide receiver and seemingly the only target that Patrick Mahomes trusts in critical moments? Yeah, he's got to find at least one other guy that he can do that to, because the guy he seems to trust the second most is Tyquan Thornton.
Well, then, I mean, in fairness, in one of the biggest spots of the game on Sunday, it was a very good throw from Mahomes to Rice, and Rice dropped the football too. So, I mean, there's been a little bit of that happening as well. I'm with you on the a lot of the passes are near the line of scrimmage, to even to Rashee Rice. Now, we know they love his ability after the catch. It's why he's also lined up in the backfield. Both those things can still exist in the offense. But what is really disappointing, and maybe this is going to be the offseason conversation again, and there will be pieces that move. Hollywood Brown will likely not be back with the team anyway. But the weapons that we're all excited about, or were excited about, we've all hyped him up. I think listeners hyped him up. We hyped him up. Everybody. Were their abilities overinflated?
Yes.
You know, I still think Rashee Rice can be a top 20 wide receiver and is a top 20 wide receiver in this league. However, when you look at the ability to consistently win in man-to-man coverage, who do they have that can do that?
Travis, for sure. And then it's supposed to be Rice, but I just don't think he's the same.
Supposed to be, yeah.
I don't think he's the same player yet. And this is why it was slight. We got the cart a little ahead of the horse. We were basing all of our decisions on, and I confident. I mentioned this in an offseason and got rebuked by a few listeners, at least at that time, which is we were judging our entire what Rashee Rice was going to be after one rookie season where they had no other options but to throw to him, and four games of a regular season, and then a 20-game absence, and just assumed he'd be the same in year one. I'm not saying, again, he can't be what you're saying at top, but he's not right now. And then Xavier Worthy, when there were even less people to throw to, and he finished with less than 700 yards, and we thought he was probably... I thought he's actually the biggest surprise out of any of them. I thought he'd take a nice step forward. I thought 650-yard receiver, they didn't get him involved until the second half of the season. This is the guy who should take a step forward.
I think,
and instead, he took a step back.
I thought when we were talking with Nate yesterday, Nate Taylor from ESPN, and it's weird how this works, but I think there's truth to it. And we were going back and forth about, you know, look, last year when they were limited because of injuries, they were forced to win in a different way. They were forced to almost simplify the game plan a little bit. That they're now because they have all these weapons. I know this seems crazy, but I think it's actually valid from Nate, and we were discussing it. Like, now that they have a full arsenal, and it should be explosive and all this, in a weird way, it has made Andy Reid and Matt Nagy's play calling worse.
Yeah.
Because, we got to get everybody the ball, and we're gonna have this, you know, this formation. We're gonna line him up in the backfield. We're gonna have you're playing with the toys too much. To where last year, when they didn't have as many toys in this reference,
simplify.
They were forced to just make it kind of simple and like, no, we're only so. They almost need to shrink down. Yes, maybe even snaps for certain guys. We're only going to have a few guys that are really a part of this scheme moving forward, and we'll move on from there. I don't know if they're willing to do that, but I think there's some truth to that. 913-586-7965. We can take one call if we want. Is this Yovan? Is that right? I believe I'm pronouncing your name correct. If not, I apologize. Yovan, you are on with Cody and Golden.
Hi, thank you for answering my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I don't really think Kelce's still the number one option, because if you look at the beginning of last year, how Rice was and how our play calling was so much better at the beginning of last year, and Kelce, that's when everybody was saying he was washed. Do you really think it's probably just the play calling, or do you think Rice's injury was that substantial and it Kelce's just getting the ball more?
I appreciate the call. Yeah, I think if you guys listen on Monday, you know I put way more of what has happened on coaching this year than I normally ever would. And that's not absolving Patrick Mahomes. That's not absolving some of the drops and things like that. I just think when we discuss so much of the close game, because statistically, the offense is actually pacing better than a year ago. I mean, that's the thing.
I know. Scoring more percentage of their drives, scoring more points.
But in the biggest moments, I think the play calling has really lacked. And so that's where I still put it. Look, Travis Kelce is also having a really, really good year. This is not Travis Kelce having a bad year and he's still the number one option. He's having a really, really nice season, especially considering his age. But I do think it is a problem, though, in the biggest moments that is still the guy you're trusting the most. I know normally we would say, well, what's wrong with that? Why can't that be the case? I think it's a problem, though, at this stage when you have all these other bevy of weapons, that he is still the guy that Mahomes is looking at first. And that's not something we normally would say, but I believe that is a problem.
I think you look at the premium picks. You gave up a second-round pick for Rashee Rice. You picked Rice for the second-round pick. And Xavier Worthy's a first-round pick. A first-round pick in year one, going into year two, should take a step in the direction. And, like, somebody's just like, well, they're just not using him enough. Okay, fine. Well, then that goes back down to the shrinking of the rotation. Shrink the rotation. Get Hollywood off the field more. Get Rice off the... Like, do what you got to do to make the snaps work, if that's what you think the solution is.
I think Worthy, though, we discussed last week. I think Worthy is... I think it's the production, not the actual target share. He's getting targeted. I don't know what it was Sunday, but prior to that game, we were looking it up. He was getting targeted 7 times a game. I don't need him getting targeted more than 7 times a game. That's more than enough targets. They're not doing enough with it.
Yeah. I don't think that's crazy. If he really is, he got 11 targets against the Broncos.
He's getting plenty of targets.
And 3 catches for 25 yards. He, you know, so like, oh no.
Was it really? 11 targets is high. Seven is what he was averaging heading into the game.
Let me see. Let me find the target share because now I am kind of.
He had seven, Cody, prior to that, I know. But
yeah, but when you start looking at where they are, that's part of the issue. He had 5 targets, sorry, against Denver.
Okay.
But only 3 catches. He had 7 targets against Buffalo, 3 catches for 23 yards. He at least made the most of them against Washington, where he had 7 targets, but caught 5 for 53. He had 9 against Jacksonville, only had 6 for 42. And so, like, when you look at some of these games, you could say give him more targets, but he really hasn't done as much as you would like out of that. So, like, let's just compare it to last year for a minute on Xavier Worthy. Last year, he's pacing a little below where he was, but again, remember, he missed time. So targets per game, he's not. Targets per attempt, he's not. Those numbers are similar to what he was getting last year. Targets per touchdown, targets per touch, targets per attempt, targets per game. They are using Xavier Worthy. And yards per catch, they're using Xavier Worthy almost exactly the way he used him last year. He should be better. He's in year two. Yeah. He's a first-round pick. He should just be better.
This text is much more of an off-season conversation, but I think there's some truth to it. Let's see how the rest of the season plays out, but I think it's a worthy conversation, again, no pun intended there, which was from the 913. Let's be honest, it's a 4x100 track team disguised sometimes as mediocre number one wide receivers, number two receivers.
Yeah, he might have done developing the route running part.
We've discussed, well, not even just him. I mean, just the wide receiver room. Are we back to that where it's like still a lot of gadgety guys? Now, I would like to think, to me, Xavier Worthy can be more than that. I really think he can. Rashee Rice is more than a gadget, but sometimes what happens is when you've got all this speed and you don't see the production, we automatically go right back to that. Well, it must just be because they're just a bunch of speedsters and they don't have any real route running. I don't know if that's entirely fair, but we've discussed this with their drafting for years, even when they were obviously having plenty of success and winning 15 games a year and all that, which is they've got a type of wide receiver Andy Reid just likes. And we could all disagree on, like, would I like them to go and draft a 6'3", 230-pound wide receiver? Sure. That's just not who they draft. That's just not.
And
now Rice, what's Rice? I mean, Rice is the closest to any of that, by the way.
He's 6 foot, probably 6'1".
But Rashee Rice is 6'1", and I don't know what his weight is, but you know that he's one of the bigger body receivers they've drafted. Actually, 6'1", 204. Okay, is what he's listed at least.
And but again, I still think his issues might just be that he's not the same level of burst and acceleration. Considering he's coming off a catastrophic injury. It's not complicated to guess where things went south for him.
Coming up at 11:45, we will hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and it is confirmed Josh Simmons will speak to the media as well. We'll carry all that live right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
I promise we'll get into the Royals conversation we wanted to get to the big trade in baseball last night. We'll have to work that in the noon hour, obviously. Spent a little time talking more than we thought about the offensive weapons, but I think a lot of people had some opinions on that. All right, trash for the day. 2 quick ones for you, Cody and James, and the text line. For starters, this is just when luck is on your side, and look, I'm jealous, frankly, is what it is. This is from Ocean County, New Jersey. A couple won $1 million in the lottery, which is already is amazing.
Dream scenario, yeah.
Right. Few months after they claimed the $1 million ticket from a scratch-off, the same couple bought a $30 scratch off, won another $3 million.
Get out of here. What? Spread it around a little.
Yeah, that couple has chosen to remain anonymous, but revealed that they are parents to a 5-year-old and 11-month-old.
Oh,
they've got another child on the way. So, you know what? Good for them. But that's great. You want $1 million. Then you're like, you know what? Why not buy another $30 one in a few months and you win another $3 million?
Should I go buy a $30 scratcher ticket on the way home today?
I'm jealous.
Every year, you know, I emcee that charity function for the Aiden Project. That's this upcoming Saturday.
I got some email about that. I usually buy that. I need to buy that golden ticket.
I was going to say, one of these years, I'm going to win that golden ticket.
I want to buy
it. It's like a choice to choose between like three different vacation options.
St. Lucia is one of them.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm just telling you, one of these years, and I keep warning the group, I'm going to win that thing one of these years.
What are you going to do?
It's a 1 in 150 chance.
Are you emceeing it again?
Yeah.
All right. What are you going to do I'm not going to be at the event, but I might buy the golden ticket because I did a couple years ago. If you have to read my name off, man, as the winner, are you going to?
I'll be jealous.
Okay.
I'll say it. I'm not going to rig it. They hand me the name. It's like out of essentially a fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just like a name pulled out of a fishbowl, essentially. So there's no real way for me to rig it.
This couple winning, $4 million in a 3-month period is crazy. All right.
That's crazy.
Then an update on one. Were you here for the gold bars in the backyard?
Uh-uh.
So a week or so ago, we had a story of this gentleman that found a gold bar haul in his backyard, buried in his French town, suburb of Lyon. And it was like worth essentially €616. Whatever the conversion is. Okay. And we were like, hey, he called authorities and the authorities checked it out and found out that it was from a previous owner, but it's on his property and all this. And like, I was like, why would you call the authorities if you found a bunch of gold? And then someone said, oh, that's what Cody would say. You're filling in for him.
No, I kind of agree. Why the hell? Why am I telling him about gold in my yard?
Well,
the
update on this is that there's some lawyer there that says that specializes in treasure. Said the man's now unlikely to be given any compensation for finding and reporting the stash. He will probably be entitled to nothing. The heir of the original owner will probably come forward.
This is why
I said you don't. If I find, I don't know how many gold
bars.
How is it not my gold?
It's my yard.
That's why.
How the hell is it not my gold?
It's your property, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If somebody stashes a bunch of gold bars in the middle of my drywall, you're telling me that some, I don't know, probably miserable kid of this guy gets to have all the cash instead of me? No, I'll just tell you right now. If I find any gold buried in my backyard, it's going straight to the pawn shop.
But you can't walk into the pawn shop with, I don't know how much each gold bar is worth.
CTR probably.
I'll
say I found it in my yard.
I just wouldn't call the police. Let's say there were 10 gold bars buried in the backyard.
Yeah.
I'm not selling all 10 at once, but I'm sure as heck not announcing to the world I found 10 gold bars in the backyard is all I'm saying. It's your house. It's your house.
I think it's crazy.
You didn't find it down the street. Like, this is not the same as you're driving on the highway and the Brinks truck opens up and a bag of money falls out. I can't just go grab that money. They're going to get you and you got to turn that in as much as you would love to just take it. The gold bars in my backyard is way different than me just finding a bag of Brinks money side of the road.
I find a bag of gold bars on the side of the highway, I probably got to tell somebody.
Right.
I find it buried in my backyard. That gold's mine.
Yeah. People are saying, Cody, you can't go to a pawn shop, though, with the gold bars. You can't just walk in there with 20 gold bars. Like, here you go.
$600,000. But I can bring in gold a little bit at a time to a pawn shop.
You just got to find someone else. You got to work back. You got to talk to some people.
Talk to a jeweler?
I talk to some people that are involved in some things maybe in the city.
I still can't understand. Like, so a guy
talk to James. Talk to James. He knows people. So, people think James is Mike McDaniel after yesterday. They think his cadence is just, they think he smokes weed just like Mike McDaniel, and they have the same cadence.
That's always their assumption. Anytime somebody else comes on the show James and talks is back slightly today. Slow, they just assume that they're a pothead. But, like, so if I go to the beach and I get, like, a metal detector and I find a gold watch, I can keep that, but I can't keep gold bar on my own property?
Text line, someone says, gold, what are you talking about? I'm taking the Brinks money. What are you on? Good luck, pal. They're traced. They're, what do you call it? They're marked or whatever. Or like, you can't, you can't use that money.
Someone says, safe deposit box for a rainy day. I'm just telling you, I'm probably slowly cashing that thing in.
Someone says
nobody at the bank's gonna have to know about a CTR unless it's over $10,000. I'll get rid of this gold slowly.
Someone says take it to the GameStop trade everything day they're doing. That was our trash day yesterday. GameStop on December 6th is doing a day where you can trade in anything, although there's a long list of exceptions, but they're as a marketing ploy, they're saying you can come in and trade in virtually anything and they'll give you store credit.
Yeah,
you trade in gold bars, they'll give you 10% of the value is what they'll do.
Typically they're saying like a lot of people being hard on pawn shops, typically they give you spot price. For gold, it has a certain value. That's not like a huge.
I haven't been in a pawn shop in a very
I'm just
long
saying,
time.
Like, that's not typically something they're like. And you can go to a different one to get the best spot price, but like, typically, it's like gold is whatever it is, $3,000 per ounce, and we'll give you $2,900 per ounce. It's not usually like, it's not like a huge profit burner for them. It's one of those like you pick up and you sell at spot. I don't know. It's not that crazy. How much is gold an ounce?
It was at an all-time high. It's gone down a little bit.
It's always a Troy.
It's over $4,000.
It's also a Troy ounce, which is a little more than an ounce. God knows why.
It's been going down, but it was at an all-time high. I don't know what the latest.
According to this, four grand. Not bad.
Stock is up on gold. Who knew? Who knew? Anyway, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour before we hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes here on Cody and Gold. I want to get back into something that that you mentioned before the show even started, and we'll discuss that with our audience, which has to do a little bit about where the AFC title game thoughts are and the making the playoffs thoughts are right now for the fan base.
This is Cody and Gold. Tune in for Nate Taylor every Tuesday at 1 o'clock right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Cody and Gold are brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
You're worried about your roof come wintertime. I understand. Like maybe the rain came through or the hail, maybe a branch, and you're like, I don't know. What is the state of my roof? Get it looked at by Century Roofing. And the reason why I say Century Roofing is because they've been doing this in Kansas City for over 35 years. They've done over 30,000 roofs. They've worked on my roof two separate times because they, in the long run, obviously want to make sure that the health of your roof is important. And so I had a little wind take off the back part of the screen porch roof. They fixed it. No problem. I had them look at the main part of my roof, trying to figure out, hey, how do we want these things to look? Is this the best possible scenario for this in the long run? Do I need a new one? They said, no, just some repairs. That's because they have the experience to be dealing with this. This is why they're voted best of Johnson County 4 years in a row and best roofing company in Kansas City, thanks to readers over the Kansas City Star just this year. So if you have roofing needs or you're not sure, schedule a free estimate today with my friends at Century Roofing and find out where your roof is and know that they have the prior experience to help you file a claim with your insurance company if that's what it requires as well. So trust the pillars of strength. Go with KC-owned and female, or KC-based and female-owned Century Roofing, and go to CenturyRoofingKC.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in 10, 12 minutes, we're going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Simmons right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We'll ask you again kind of the question of the day. We'll have our random one later on. But 913-586-7965, we were discussing before the show, would you be more surprised if the Chiefs miss the playoffs or they make another AFC?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
AFC title game, something that Mahomes has done in each one of his seasons. I still think I would be more surprised, believe it or not, if they missed the playoffs, because I think they're winning Sunday. Call me crazy. That's fine. The AFC title game for me is if they get in the dance, the Patriots inexperience, Colts, it's still Daniel Jones, Steelers or Ravens division winner, right? If it's the Steelers, I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers. If it's the Lamar Jackson led Ravens, I still think defensively they've got problems. If it's the Broncos, the Chiefs just played them. They'll play them again. It'll be the third time they would play them in that scenario. And they just lost by 3 points. As frustrating as we all are about this offense and team.
On the road, too.
It was a 3-point loss on the road. I don't think there's a juggernaut. Oh, and by the way, Buffalo would be the other one, but they wouldn't play Buffalo till an AFC title game again. And rematches typically.
But that's getting to the AFC title game, so it wouldn't matter.
I still think I'd be more surprised at this point in time than the other. So
I understand that it would take 6-1. Or 5-2, probably at worst.
I don't think 5-2 gets it done.
I don't think it
does. Tiebreakers stink for them.
I don't think it does. I understand, but it's funny how quickly this shifts. Because if you're asking me, is it more likely they miss the playoffs or get to the AFC title game? The answer is it's still more likely they get to the AFC title game than miss. And I know statistically, I understand that that is not true.
Yeah, the odds won't necessarily
Understand that, like, percentage-wise, that's not accurate. What I'm telling you is if you forced me to bet it and the odds were the same, I would still bet it is more likely the Chiefs end up in another AFC title game than actually miss the playoffs. And some of that is this weekend is obviously yet another big swing game in that. Because if they do beat a, I think, very good Colts team at home on Sunday, well, then I'm going to think they're going to win against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then you and I are going to come back that Monday after Thanksgiving and say, well, they're 7-5 and have 10 days before the Texans. So, well, I guess I'm chalking them up for the old dub there, 8-5. Like, it's not going to be hard for me if they get through this game on Sunday to start talking myself back into 11 wins. And if they're getting to 11 wins, I understand they won't win the division. That's long dead.
Yeah, the division's over. Yeah.
So, like, that's long dead, and I understand that. But the path still in the AFC is what gives you some hope that even if they have to make the playoffs as a wild card team, that still is an if, admittedly. I'm not saying that it's not.
Oh, it's a coin flip, but the coin flip becomes 65%+ if they beat the Colts, in my opinion.
I guess part of this is the reason why I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. And I don't think you're, for the first time all year, I don't think you're a crazy person for saying that either. If your stance is this team ain't making the playoffs, I can't really I can't beat you down on it, but I can't get over the fact that so many things about this team point to it should be a good team. Like they do things well. They score points and they don't give up points. That's historically means some pretty good things for you. They score on like 50% of their damn drives. That historically would mean you're a pretty good team. But the idea that you would have to travel to Denver, New England, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh right now, ooh. The only thing that would give me some shock here is if the Ravens won it. I think having to travel to Baltimore would be a little bit more of a challenge.
The current implied odds, you know, to make the playoffs, implied odds on the betting markets, saying the Chiefs have a 66.1% chance. Now, if you go to like The Athletic and other sites and their simulations, it's more like 55-56%, more of a coin flip. Betting markets, of course, can be wrong. I mean, heck, the Chiefs were 4.5-point favorites last weekend against Denver, and they lost outright. They're 3.5-point favorites or whatever it is.
Favorites again.
Heading into Sunday. So by no means, they always get it right. But there's still a lot of, I guess, metrics and also people that are refusing to count the Chiefs out as much as there are people that are saying it's done, wishful thinking. They have made it extremely difficult. They have made it virtually with no wiggle room now for them the rest of the way. It is all about the Colts. As much as we talked all week last week about the Broncos game, that was for the division, right? That was make or break for the division. Well, it broke. The division's done. But for your season, for your playoffs, Sunday is that game. Because I don't believe you go from losing three in a row. If you lose against the Colts, you lose three in a row. I don't think they're
You've
winning.
Lost home momentum.
They're not winning six in a row after losing three in a row. No. But if they stabilize, beat a very good Colts team on Sunday, I think, and then they turn around, as you said, all of a sudden you could have seven wins in a 10-day period. You could be sitting at 7-5. So against the Cowboys, who, while they look great against the Raiders, for those that discount what the Chiefs did against the Raiders, I'll remind you, the Chiefs beat them 31-0. So if we're going to discount the Chiefs beating the Raiders 31-0, then you cannot cite me the Cowboys killing the Raiders and act like that was an impressive win.
Yeah.
They both have to be impressive then.
It definitely can't be both, and I think that that's probably important to point out, at least on that end. Look, this isn't to say that this isn't the worst. It is the worst. I think it was Adam Best over at Arrowhead Attitude pointed out the same thing about where the team is now versus the other. There have been a couple of other times in which the Chiefs have struggled. In 2019, they were 6-4. They eventually finished 12-4 and won the Super Bowl. At that time, Gold, and they were coming off a 2-4 stretch. Had I told you after they had finished a 2-4 stretch, we're 6-4, that they were going to win out the rest of their games, Gold, you can't just use the logic and be like, well, they stink now, so they can't win the rest of their games now. No, the Chiefs still can. I'm not saying they will, but they certainly can win the rest of their games in a row. They started 3-4 in 2021, won 9 of their next 10. In 2023, they started 9-6 after and then getting their ass kicked on Christmas Day, as we all remember, and then won the rest of their games and won Super Bowls, lost in overtime in AFC Championship games. As correctly pointed out by him, they have been in a spot like this before. This is certainly, I think, the worst of those spots. If like they get through and they make the other AFC title game, when I put together a list a few years from now, if they're having a bad start to a season, this will be the example of the worst it's been. In that hypothetical. I just can't. I'm with Ross Tucker. You're not going to catch me, even at 5-5. I'm not going to be the person who says this team doesn't make the playoffs. Not yet.
Yeah.
Sunday, we might have a different conversation. I'll join the rest.
If they lose Sunday, then on Monday, the season's over for me. But 913-586-7965. I always laugh when we get this. Someone says, Gold, you really never pick against the Chiefs anyway. And that's fair. I really don't. But I would also say,
you've been right 80% of the time.
I would say, like, I don't go full blown 35-0 every week. But I would say the team, how many games did they lose last year? 15-2 in the regular season, one loss in the Super Bowl. So they lost three times. So I know it's I know it's crazy that I picked them to win 95% of their game, because they're winning 90% of their game, seemingly.
83% correct by you last year. You picked the Chiefs to win every game. You correctly predicted their win-loss 83% of the time.
It's not about being right or wrong, but I think it's funny anytime anybody says, like, well, you guys pick them to win all the time. Do you know how many wins they have over the last 5 years? Heading into our sixth year of doing the show. You know how many times, you know how many wins that they have? Like, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I'm just saying it out rhetorically. My guess is over the last 5 years, they have won at an 80%+ clip or a 75%+ clip. So this is not me picking the Jets to win every week. Okay. So I actually don't think it's crazy to, I would argue for once, I will say, yeah, I've been right to pick the Chiefs to win most weeks. Sorry.
This is what's been so confusing about this year is that just something feels wrong. Like, and not that everything's wrong, not that they're a bad team who can't block or can't tackle or can't score points or can't stop points. Again, they're top 10 in a lot of categories, but something's, especially late in the game, is just off, and that's why we were having this conversation.
All right, up next, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, also Josh Simmons, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? It's Trent McDuffie. You're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2 on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
All right, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Simmons. James will let me know when they are speaking live. They were a little late on, or Andy was late on Monday, so I wonder if they'll be on time
today.
How late? 25.
Woo! Andy!
Well, they were in meetings. It was a big game on Sunday that happened. They were in meetings, you know, trying to get some stuff figured out.
Got to start earlier.
Ironed out.
Problem solved. They're just going to win the rest of their games, finish 11-5, and then we'll all assume they're going to the Super Bowl, you know? It's too bad, too.
What a homer you are, man. How dare you think they're going to win some games down the stretch?
I think the funnier time for that is some of that's existed. I feel like fans have said that come playoff time. Like, they've been to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row. Is there people give you a hard time for mispredicting them to win the Super Bowl last year against the Eagles. And you're like,
it's just funny.
Why was that crazy? They had won the previous two. Yeah, fine. They lost the game. People lose games.
I just think it's funnier, like, especially last year. They went 15-2. And so if you're like, hey, you didn't pick them to lose any of the games last year when we did our weekly predictions, I'm like, yeah, you're correct. And they lost two of them. So picking them to win every single game was probably the right move. They went 15-2.
I guess you should have correctly identified
the two. I wish I could. In a season in which the Chiefs lose two games, I wish I could have told you exactly which two they were going to lose. I would make a lot of money. I'd make a lot of money if I could pinpoint, like, this year. If I thought preseason, I thought they were going to go 13-4 preseason. I wish I could tell you the exact four they were going to lose. They're going to end up losing more than that, obviously. They can't mathematically not lose more than that.
They've already lost more than that.
They're 5-5. So, like, that was wrong, right? I was wrong that they were going 13-4. But I wish I could tell you specifically which four. We all try to figure that out back in May. Cody, when we all go through the schedule and we're like, this is the toughest stretch, or these are the four losses, we all pick them. And then you're right. Come the season, come the individual week, there are plenty of times where maybe back in May I said they were going to lose to the Bills, then it gets to game week and I pick them to beat the Bills. But yeah, that happens. I would just argue that's also just kind of how, I don't know why it bugs people. That's like, some of that is just how this job in sports talk radio works. Like, my opinion on a given week, once we get in the week, might change from what it was 6 months earlier.
Yeah, I mean, teams change. Function changes, how they play changes. And we'll talk more about that, obviously, as we're waiting for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to talk. But that's partially like what we were talking about in the beginning of the show. The team has been different home and away. The defense hasn't been as sharp as we're used to on the road. And so, like, these are the kind of things they're going to have to figure out. And I don't think Spags just become the ultimate predictable machine because Chris Jones said one thing in postgame that said, they knew what was coming.
Yeah.
But they have been worse on the road. They have been worse in clutch time. Not getting off the field on 3rd and 15 against Bo Nix and letting him carve you up. When I think Bo Nix has looked incredibly average for 98% of this season, letting him pick you apart, letting Troy Franklin, who had had 15 catches going into the game or whatever the hell it was, pick you apart. There's something about this team that's not very good on the road, and that's probably at least part of where their issue is, and that's where they're going to have to continue to monitor it because, you know, this home game now is against the Colts. I would expect them to play better because they have this year, and then the Cowboys. And you and I both said they can lose, what, one the rest of the way? Maybe two if a team fell apart for you? Every tiebreaker goes against you right now. You don't have the conference right. record, divisional record, or head-to-head against any of the teams in the AFC playoff field ahead of you. So you're just kind of stuck one way or another. But I do feel like there's just something a little off. That's all.
Yeah, James, just let me know if we can try to find the correct fee. Looks like Andy Reid has started, so we should be able to have should be able to have that. Well, I'm going to let Cody talk for a second while I go help him. But we'll have Andy Reid here in just a second coming up.
Sure. I guess partly what I'm getting into is if you look at where the Chiefs are right now from a home road perspective, is that as it sits, the Chiefs score less points per game. Patrick Mahomes has 10 less touchdowns on the road. And defensively, they're allowing 8 more points per game when they're at home versus when they're on the road. And so there is something, and this goes back to this idea of clutch. I think the most jarring thing this season about where the Chiefs have been has been the inability to win in hostile environments and how they're getting outplayed in crunch time moments against hostile opponents. Like Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos outplayed you in a key, critical moment late in a game. That's why it looks weird and wrong and different and should look better than that. And so I got to really figure out what this team is, because I'm with the idea that we talk about what they have been, and they deserve some of the credit for they are different, but they're also not the same clutch team. They're somehow way worse than normal in pivotal moments than we've ever seen this team be. And that makes no fundamental sense because they should be significantly better in those moments. Here's some of the splits. 1,326 passing yards for Patrick Mahomes on the road versus similar on there, and then 14 touchdowns at home versus 4 on the road. So it's at least a little bit different on that end.
All right, let's go ahead and head out to Arrowhead and hear from Andy Reid right now on 96.5 The Fan.
I guess the concerning to you that you guys have not had as quick a start as you would like probably on offense, and are there ways that you're figuring you guys need to give maybe Patrick more in rhythm in the first quarter than, you know, past years?
Yeah, Nate, look, every year is different. So I approach it that way. Every game's different. So I go back and we look at everything. And so for games that maybe didn't start, well, why, you know, why? And let's answer it. And or whatever. We're not running the ball. Let's look at what, why. And that's the way we address it. And we do it on every play and make sure we come up with a better solution.
You're known for having your teams historically improve as the season goes along. But how much of that is, I guess, tied to maybe changes in the offensive scheme, right? Like, if you start the year in West Coast, you can't necessarily go full air raid. How much of that can be morphed or shifted throughout the course of the season? And, you know, statistics say you guys, for instance, run the ball well under center, but I don't know how much of that was baked into the scheme of the season again.
Yeah, we're not in a position where we need to wholesale that. That's not where we're at right now. We've got to just clean up some things. Yeah, it's not. But the nice part about this offense is you got a lot of directions you can go with it. There are a whole lot of things that things that you can do with it. So it's important that we do the right things, get ourselves in the right place.
Coach, just a little bit about the Colts. I mean, it's a relatively young head coach in the game, and just wonder maybe what the personality of their team looks like. Since you guys have played them every once in a while.
Sure.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Listen, he's done a nice job there, and quarterback's playing well for him. Defensively, they've got a great scheme, and they're very accurate with what they do, solid. And then special teams, he's done a good job there. So he's got a good football team all the way around. It's not by chance that he's sitting where he's sitting record-wise.
That's
right. Is there any, chance that just maybe as an organization, you guys have played so deep into every season for so many years now that there's just kind of like fatigue, not like someone's, you can't get up and get going, but just like.
Okay, Bookie, what are we going to.
Five extra weeks of being exposed to what you want to do and people have an extra tape on you, is that potentially part of the problem?
I'm really tired of these press conferences. I don't think so. There's enough changeover in today's world that, it keeps it fresh and so on. But I think we're okay there.
Through 10 weeks, just how would you evaluate Patrick's year just compared to previous seasons?
He's really having a good year. We've got a couple things that we've got to clean up just all the way around. But he's played great football,
All right, we're going to dump out of this. I understand the audio is having some problems there, so apologies there. By the way, the audio, the microphones there, as you guys know, are not under our control, but in general, the audio itself is bad, and I have no idea
some random lady. She was louder than anyone else.
I have no idea.
You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ, FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 in Kansas City. Yeah, we'll try to go back out there in just a moment if we can get
when Patrick speaks and then Josh Simmons. But as you said, yeah, Isaiah Pacheco going to return to practice today. That's obviously a positive to see. Also, Kingsley, concussion protocol, not going to practice. Andy said he's doing well. We'll see what his status is as the week goes on. But there's a chance Caliendo might be playing again. Worthy ankle could be limited. Says we'll see. He's been listed as limited multiple times throughout this season with an ankle injury. That's nothing new. Pacheco, the biggest development there that maybe he could be on track to play Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that that is not unimportant. Obviously, he is their best back. Whether that be like all the problems are solved or not, it is significant that they would at least return and making sure that he's good to go. Andy was asked if the team has fatigue after a deep postseason run. He said, no, just tired of these press conferences. So, if you're curious where Andy's head's at least there. But, look, he's never going to say that. Tell me how that's not part of the story for the Chiefs. They've played 20 games every year for 7 consecutive years. Are you seriously here to tell me that Chris Jones' legs aren't tired? Because the man's playing like he's tired. I'll tell you that much. Chris Jones plays like a person who's played too many football games by the age of 31. That's how he's playing actively. So it's either a motivation issue or a physically unable to perform it the way I used to perform it because I've been putting in all this work kind of level. It's one of the two.
Look, we're all...
It can't be. It's not nothing. I'm not watching Chris Jones play different and just assume that it's just he's fine.
Yeah, we're all searching for answers and what might be the issue. I think we've discussed this idea of playing 20 plus football games basically a year for multiple years, and does that catch up? Some of it is that. Some of it is that the age of certain players on the roster. Some of it is also the competition has come closer and closed the gap. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I don't think there's one definitive reason for it. 913-586-7965, the text line.
Let's take a shot. I think James said we can go back out.
As far as injuries go for today's practice.
Well, that's the beginning. We don't want to go all the way back to the beginning.
Won't practice, but doing well.
We're at the fast forward a little bit, I think.
We had a concussion to work with, you know, which we look at first.
Travis's podcast, and he said he kind of felt.
We'll wait for Patrick
to go ahead and start up.
But that audio sounds better.
Audio sounds way better. I don't want to restart the entire Andy Reid.
Is this show cursed? That's the real question.
It's
I just came back post surgery. Drew's been out. Everything's off. We're all just haywire.
I don't know if anybody else cares. The last week. Now some of it is like serious life stuff too. You know, like the last week. Yeah. Like obviously, I got back from a trip. You had a scheduled surgery. We learned like initially last Tuesday that right before Nate was supposed to come on, I got a text from his wife because he was having his procedure. He talked about it on air yesterday, so I can share it. He talked about on air about his health diagnosis and with kidney cancer, and things went well though, with his procedure. So he's shared that publicly. I'm not sharing anything I shouldn't be sharing. So that happened. Dana Wright was supposed to come on for Fan Club Friday last week. Last minute, couldn't come on. She was doing the carbon monoxide thing with her house. Again, she shared that publicly. I'm not spilling the beans. then I had personally, a friend, unfortunately, somebody, their father passed away over the weekend. Man. Then something we'll have to wait a few days to share. Something else happened with a coworker as well. Yeah. And then we had, when you were gone yesterday, the first segment, because that James came in last minute, and then we had audio randomly playing, Ghost playing as well. And then today we have weird stuff is happening around the show.
I think it's fairly obvious. Both the Chiefs.
Someone just said, come home.
Or curse.
Somebody randomly said, come home, Pookie, in an audio clip. Whatever. Who was that? What was that? What was on the computer over there, James? Come home, Pookie?
That's KSHB at your finest, bro.
Oh, man.
As Andy would say, we got to clean it up. We got to clean it up.
This show's got to clean it up. And we got to clean it up. From the Chiefs perspective, like I said, both the Chiefs and the show are cursed. But I told you, the doctor told me I am not medically cleared to sing a song about the Chiefs or to help this show, Gold. I'm not cleared for at least another week. And by then, they would have maybe righted the ship because they beat the Colts. We don't need a song then. That could only throw off the rhythm.
Yeah,
I had a song in mind. I was going to do it.
I'm glad you're not singing.
Doctor said I'm not cleared, you know?
Some says, don't forget, Bink couldn't make his 7 a.m. beer. Oh, yeah, you missed that. Yeah, Bink, who filled in for you. So initially,
I don't know if that qualifies as a cursed camp.
No, but that was basically like the Amazon cloud stuff or whatever was down yesterday morning, I think it was, for like Twitter was down and stuff. And so Bink couldn't make his 7 a.m. Hy-Vee beer order. And then yesterday, the computers got changed and Bink couldn't see the Google Doc. And it's been a weird week. Anyway, I believe Patrick Mahomes is speaking loudly and clearly right now. Oh boy. They're not ready yet. I hear Blair Kirchhoff talking. Okay. this is, let me know when Patrick Mahomes is himself speaking into a microphone.
Turn it off before they say something they shouldn't, James. Yeah.
Let me know when Mahomes himself is speaking, please.
We're struggling. You know what, honestly though, up until this moment, I think the show's going really smooth.
He's there now? All right.
At this point in the season, how do you feel that you guys can try to turn the corner and be a little more consistent?
Yeah, I think it just comes with the history that we've had and knowing that we have the guys to do it. It's about going out there and proving it now and getting better at practice, getting better in the film room, getting extra time at the facility. But, I mean, talking with the guys throughout the building this week, I think guys are excited for the opportunity to go out there and prove that. But like I said, you got to go out there and do it. You can't just keep talking about it. You got to go out there and do it. And it starts with me and kind of has to feed through the entire team.
What was the most frustrating part about that loss in Denver?
For me, it was just getting the ball with 4 minutes left and not getting points and not getting a first down or really anything. Just being in those moments of four, knowing how important it is to kind of get some momentum in your team by at least moving the ball a little bit and changing the field position and not being able to do that was big. So that was the most disappointing part for me, because even though I didn't feel like we played to our best level, our best standard, there was still an opportunity to win the football game and we weren't able to do that.
It seems like maybe the offense is better this year than it was last year. Is it just a matter of just big plays and situational football?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've preached that for the last few years, is like these games are a couple plays here and there. I mean, there's not a lot of times in this league where you're blowing teams out, and so it's just a couple plays here and there that you have to make. And we've been able to make those plays in these last few years, and we're not doing that this year. And now it's about giving ourselves more opportunities to make those plays, and then when we get those opportunities, going out there and doing it. And so I'm excited for it. We got a lot of good football teams coming up, starting off with the Colts. But it's a great opportunity to go out there and get our season turned around and get going in the right direction.
Patrick, are you seeing common denominators in particular on some of the deep passes that you haven't connected on?
Yeah, I'm just not making the throws is pretty much the biggest thing. Guys are getting open and giving me chances to make the plays down the field. I give them chances to make plays. And, I mean, if you look at the one to Tyquan later in the game, it wasn't necessarily the best thrown ball, but it gave him a chance. And I think that's something that I can learn from. With guys like Xavier's early, is that it might not be.
The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare.
Yeah, go ahead. We're listening to Patrick Mahomes here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, we can pot it back up.
On it, and then he can make the play and score a touchdown from there. So being better there and giving guys chances usually works out.
On that play in particular, the Xavier one, are you seeing the same angle that he's running? Is he running where you fully anticipate him to go, or is that a little bit of just getting more and more on the same page?
Yeah, I mean, the angle stuff is one thing. I think what I've learned from just playing for a while now is that those deep passes, like I said, those deep passes don't have to be perfect. You know, I think we always want to make the perfect throw, but if he wins like that, you can flatten his angle. You can throw the ball with more air underneath it, and then he can adjust, and that's why he is the player that he is. And so why not give him that opportunity and try to throw the ball perfectly down the field? And it looks awesome when it happens, but then obviously there's more misses than there is completions. And so if you look at the best deep ball throwers in the league and in the history of the NFL, they weren't always just these perfectly thrown balls, but they were giving guys chances, and they were going out there and making plays.
When you look at this Colts defense that you have Luan and Romo as a defense coordinator, does it look like what the Bengals used to try to do to you, or is it totally
they definitely do some of the stuff. I mean, Coach Anarumo is a great defensive coordinator, a great coach, and he has his stuff. But I think what makes him such a great defensive coordinator is he kind of tailors his team, scheme to the team that he's playing with, and so he wants to go with their strengths, and so getting their guys in the best position to succeed. And even from some of the trades they made, they've adjusted their defense as well, and so I think that's something that makes him a great coach, is that he's not stuck in his ways of like how he calls the thing. He adjusts his scheme to the team that's around him, and obviously they've done a lot of great things this year.
Some numbers about your guys' success when you're under center. Do you have a preference? Do you care whether you're under center or shotgun or?
Nah, my preference is to win. So whatever the way that happens, I'm good with.
Is it difficult to prepare for a guy that is willing to change so much, specifically when they just added such a key player like Sauce, who's done a ton of fun with his team with that player?
I mean, obviously there's going to be some difficulties there, but at the same time, we've played them so many times that you just go back and watch every game that you played against them and see the different things that he's done to you, the changeups he's thrown at you, and then know there's going to be a wrinkle that he has this game, and try to make a positive play out of it. It doesn't have to be a home run shot or whatever it is, but getting the ball to a check down, getting the ball to a guy that can get 5 to 6 yards, and then kind of getting back into the flow of the game. I think that's something that's important against him, is that he'll continue to throw different things at you just to make sure that you're not settled with what he's calling. That's something that I have to continue to be great with throughout the entire football game.
Balance has been a topic this week for whatever reason, and RPOs by extension of that. I guess as you look at all the RPOs this year, how have you felt about your decision-making, right or wrong, on certain points?
Yeah, I feel like I've done a good job of it. I think there's times where I should hand it, and there's times where I should throw the ball more, and I think you just have to continue to read and get better and better with it. I think more than anything, it's just giving guys chances, either catching the ball or running the ball, even if the perfect look is not there. And so there's times where I might have thrown it, we got 5 or 6 yards, and that's a positive play, but you can hand the ball off and kind of keep defenses honest as well. And so that's stuff that I've worked with throughout my entire career, and it's something that's been huge in our offense for a long time. So I think for us, it's just continue to get better and better each and every game.
RPOs, following up on that, what's your process on that? How's it, the mechanics of it as far as pre-snap reads, how much your decision is after the snap? How does it work for you?
I mean, there's multiple. There's times, and we coach Heck and Coach Reed and all them, they coach multiple ways of reading it. I mean, there's times where we're reading a certain guy, and there's times where we're reading coverages, and there's times where you're reading space. And so it just kind of depends on that week and the team that you're playing and being able to adjust accordingly. Like I said, you can – our goal is to get 5 or 6 yards on every single time we run an RPO, either running the ball or throwing the ball. And I think we've done a good job of that throughout the season. But at the end of the day, like I said, sometimes you got to hand the ball off, even if the throw gets you 5 or 6 yards, just to keep the defense honest and to set up other stuff throughout the rest of the game.
There's a lot of conversation about the deep ball, but you don't have a lot of targets in the intermediate. Do you feel like there's, you know, for lack of a better term, more meat on the bone there that you could work that area a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of the coverages that we've been getting. I mean, teams are playing more man coverage against us, which gives more opportunities to throw the ball down the field. But until we prove that we can hit those throws down the field, then teams are going to continue to play man coverage. And so that's something that's going to be important for us, is to hit some of those throws. And once we start hitting some of the throws, like you saw this last game against Denver, you hit one deep throw and all of a sudden the offense opens up. And then you're able to hit other throws as well. And so I think we've always done a really good job of being able to take what's there. It's just about hitting some of those deeper throws to loosen the defense up and then give us opportunities to throw the ball everywhere throughout the offense.
You can pinpoint, Patrick, when you go back and rewatch the film, as to why you guys have had slower starts than usual on offense this season?
I mean, there's been games where we've had great starts and we've usually won them, and there's been games where we don't have good starts and we've lost them this year. And so I think just learning from those. I mean, like this last week, if you hit the throw to Xavier, that's a great start, and then the Tyquan after that. And so it's just little things here and there, but those little things add up. I think that's something that we have to continue to get better and better at. I have to be better at getting us going in the right direction. If I'm going to make that throw to Xavier, I got to hit it. If not, I got to hit Travis to keep the chains moving. And those are the decisions that I have to make. And when I make those decisions, I have to go out there and execute them.
Coach is so even keeled. Everything's kind of the same and keeps the routine. You get in a game like this, 5-5, it's obviously a big game. How do you handle that kind of the sense of urgency throughout the week? I mean, do you ratchet things up in the meetings, practice? I mean, how do you go about kind of doing that as a leader on the offense?
Yeah, I mean, just like if you were going to like a big divisional game or a playoff game, whatever it is, you just know what's at stake. And so you try to prepare yourself throughout the week and do the little extra stuff so that your mind can be settled on game day. And then you can go out there and just play, knowing that you need to go out there and win the football game. And know we're playing against a really good football team that's playing great football right now. And it's a great opportunity at the end of the day. Like, obviously we're 5-5, not where we want to be at. But we get to write the rest of this season's story, and it starts this week with the Colts at Arrowhead, and I'm excited for us to go out there and do it.
I know you guys talk a lot about holding yourselves accountable. How do you hold teammates accountable in meetings, practice? I mean, how does that play?
Yeah, I think it just first you got to go out and do it. Like, I'm always you have to go out there and show that you're going to put in the work, and I think if you do that, you can ask guys and push guys to do more. And we have a lot of great dudes in this locker room. And you can see that in their mindset and the way that they're walking around the building this week is that they're pushing themselves to be even better. Knowing that it's just we're this close, you have to just continue to push yourself to kind of break through that barrier and get to where we want to be at as a football team. And I'm excited. Like I said, it's not where we want to be at, and it's been a rough kind of high low season. But we get to write the rest of the story. So let's go out there and do it.
Last two, Nate and then Matt. Go, Nate.
Patrick, you've been really high on Josh Simmons ever since the team selected him in the draft. With him coming back and playing against those dominant pass rushers, did you learn anything extra, or is it just sort of reaffirming what you guys knew about how talented he could be?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great football player, and he's gotten better every week that he's played, and he'll continue to get better. I think just for him, it's just going to continue to stack days on days of just getting better, pushing himself to be the best player that he can be. But like I said, since he stepped on, like you said, since OTAs, when he got out there and the way he was rehabbing, the way he was getting back at it to training camp and to the season, he's gotten better and better, and I think the sky's the limit. He's got to keep pushing to get even better.
Matt, you know, based on how you describe it and how, you know, Andy talked on Monday about how teams are sometimes encouraging or at least allowing you to pass on the RPOs, how much of it is that decision is baked in even to the game plan, or it evolves as the game goes on, that those are going to be passes just the way that baseline teams have played in the past or looks like they're showing or how they're playing that day?
Yeah, I mean, there is. I mean, like the first play of the game this last week, I mean, with that pressure, the safety pressure and like that, we knew they might get into a run blitz type thing, and you throw the ball to Rasheed, you get a first down, you kind of get the things going. And so that's the stuff that you want. But then there's times where you throw the ball and it might get 3 yards, like I did Travis later in the game, and you want to make sure that you give guys chances to run the football on plays like that. And so just reading the coverages, understanding what the defense is doing, and then making the best decision you feel like for the team.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes speaking to the media. We are expected to hear from Josh Simmons right here on 96.5 The Fan. I think it's going to be really interesting on Sunday then, based on some of the answers there from Patrick Mahomes, Cody. How it does it noticeably look different on the RPOs too? Like, it's one thing for us to sit here and say, hey, call some more, you know, as Andy Reid called them, hard runs. Like, there is no option to check out of or anything.
Yeah.
RPOs, does Patrick Mahomes, good or bad, does he perhaps hand the ball off on an RPO a little bit more? Now, they should only do it based on the look they're getting.
He said I should do it more just to keep them honest.
Will they, though, right? Will they? Like,
I don't know, man. In that moment, you were trained to throw the ball for the 5 or 6 yards because it is the more successful play call.
Yeah.
But that goes back to the same, like, nobody respects the run, though, right? Like, nobody respects that the Chiefs are actually going to run the football. They threw it 45 times in a game that, for a huge chunk of it, Gold, was 16, 13, 19, 13, 10, 7, whatever, right? It was ugly. It was 6.5. How do you get in a game that's 6.5 and tell me that you passed 3 times more than you run the football? Nobody respects that they're going to run it. That's why they're successful under center. I did think that it was interesting. He said he didn't care. He's like, I don't care if I play under center or don't. Doesn't matter to me. You're like, okay. Interesting, at least on that end. So maybe call more of those. I don't know that it'll actually fix
I think Andy Reid and Matt Nagy care how often they go under center, though. Because they don't do, like, ultimately, they all want to win. I don't discount anybody's desire to win in that building. They've all won a lot of games. They all, you don't get to this level of competitiveness and everything without wanting to, the ultimate goal to win.
Correct.
I'm not doubting that. But I do think if we're going to say, that ultimately, I don't care how we get it done. Patrick Mahomes is saying that whether it's under center or whatever, I don't care. I just want to win. That's kind of the point, though. Late in the games, I feel like Andy Reid in particular, they have wanted to win a certain way. Doing whatever it takes to win. Personally, like, they may think it is.
It was 19, 19, and 19, 16, and he threw it 6 straight times. Not a single run to be found. And they were averaging, 6 yards a carry during that time?
The first half, Kareem Hunt was averaging 4.9, I think, is what it was.
Somebody said we had Pookie in the Indies.
Apologies, by the way, for clearly a disaster.
Hey, you know what? It went much smoother once we got Pat on and we're all good.
Yep.
Somebody also says that they would like to formally request that we no longer refer to James as James on this show, but instead he's Pookie. Someone's talking to him.
I mean, I don't know if he wants to be called Pookie. It's either that or Mike McDaniels. Look, I'll defend James a little bit.
No,
last minute, he's been filling in. He's never done our show with the press conference and everything before. It's not his fault. It's put in a tough spot. But it's one of those things that I get frustrated by it. But deep down, I should just laugh it off a little bit more. It is what it is.
Just move on. I will say, if the Chiefs turn it around, and that's a huge if. Obviously, nobody in here is saying that they're for sure got it all squared away. He did deliver what will be the, I think, rallying cry line for the rest of the year. That doesn't mean that's the way it's going to go. But when he sat there just now, as obviously you heard Patrick Mahomes speak right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan, and he delivered the line he just did, which was, we get to write the rest of the season. I want to get the exact quote on it. But that was the one that stood out to me, at least at the moment. And when he talked about it, you start listening to a player that knows that they should be further ahead than they are. They aren't. Not because, they are talentless, but because they are just making mistakes. Lots of mistakes. And so I hope for their sake that they are getting ready to turn around starting against the Colts. But, man, I kind of thought they were going to start turning around against the Broncos.
Well, that's the fact that the loss of the Broncos was out of a bye week is what gives you less probably confidence than ever before if you're a Chiefs fan that, they'll figure it out. We can address that again. But Josh Simmons, all right, he is good to go out at Arrowhead.
Kansas City and this club for having my sixth the time I was away from the team. Showed how much love this team and city has for me, and I can't wait to give it back to them. So,
go ahead, guys.
Is there anything you would like to share just about your absence?
Kind of want to keep that in house. All due respect, I know everybody wants, but it's kind of something I want to keep, inside.
How'd your first game back go? How do you think you played?
There's always room. But I think as a front, we swung as hard as we could. There's obviously some things that we you can't control. They're also a really good football team, so I think it's just kind of picking up on the film and then kind of cleaning some stuff up.
Did you feel a little rust?
A little bit. I mean, 15 is extremely gifted player, so going against that was a fair welcome back. But I think with the teammates that I had throughout that week, they helped me up and kind of helped brush that stuff off.
Josh, what were you able to do while you were gone to stay in football shape and stay as ready to come back as possible?
Yeah, I had access to gyms and stuff like that, so I was making sure I was working out once and then hitting like some field work, some just keeping my feet alive and stuff like that, making sure my nervous system was woken up.
Did you feel like physically when you came back, like, yeah, I'm ready?
I did. I was ready to play. Absolutely.
What about just like communication with the team? What was that kind of like? Were you involved in virtual meetings or then getting information, just kind of the stuff that wasn't physical?
Yeah, I mean, I had access to my playbook and stuff like that, so I was able to kind of keep up and stay proactive with maybe, you know, studying plays or something like that, making sure I was going over notes and stuff like that. And communication with the team was very transparent, especially at the end. But, yeah.
Josh, how difficult was this time away from your teammates and just dealing with your situation, but also how did they help you, encourage you this time?
So I have got some teammates that are, you know, always checking in on me. Obviously, they had games and stuff like that. But, you know, when you had teammates like that, that definitely you know, I was itching to get back and then fight for them. But I think from here, I think I just kind of – I'm sorry, what was the first part of that question again?
No, just how difficult was this time?
Yeah. Being away from the game, I mean, I missed a little chunk of my college season, so being away from the game again was – I was itching to get back on the field.
Andy Reid, while you're away, Coach Reid, while you're away, said, you know, he's handling business. I guess what did it mean to you that the team was so accepting of whatever it is to you that you were going through?
It's not my thought to kind of do it alone, but my part was to make sure that I was in shape for the time when I came back.
Josh, Ohana is a big part of the Polynesian culture, as you know. How big was it to have your family behind you and supporting you and encouraging you during the time frame you were away?
My family, as in my personal family or a football team? It was amazing. Obviously, family is the biggest thing, as you know, Polynesians lean on, so... you know, when you get in that, and it just makes everything a lot better. So,
couple more.
Josh, what stands out about the Colts' defensive front when you look at them on film?
They're very disciplined. I'm looking at their ends right now. We just got a little, like a flash of them, and they play very hard. I know I'm teammates with one of the D linemen down there, former teammates with one of the D linemen down there, and then, yeah, they just play. They're very, very strong. They're very physical. They're going to get after it. They're not really necessarily going to, I don't know, Myles Garrett, but they are extremely gifted, and that's something that I'm gonna be studying my tail off to be going against.
There's 7 games left. Now, I guess what do you want? What is your individual goal for the final 7 games?
Just win. Just keep winning.
You mentioned staying in shape while you were gone. What was football to you while you were gone? Is it a connection for you, or was it something that a distraction? Or
definitely not a distraction. I was wherever I was making sure I was watching the game, tuning in, or you know, keeping up with who we were going against the next week or something like that. So it wasn't a distraction at all. I knew exactly I was going to come back and be ready.
Last one, Sam.
Josh, is it your anticipation that you'll be here for the remainder of the
season? Absolutely, I will be here for the rest of the season with the Kansas City Chiefs.
You mentioned missing the time at Ohio State, and then you get that view of watching it, you know, just on TV.
Living Spaces is partnering.
All right, so that was Josh Simmons. If I was the final question there anyway, speaking live, I think the last question actually was the most important part of the whole thing. Obviously, at the beginning, he said, if you caught it, that he's going to keep his reasoning for his absence in-house. Okay. I thought the end was important because you and I were both talking to each other saying, is anybody going to ask, do you expect, though, to
is this a problem that could come back up?
Right. Basically, like, what's your availability moving forward? Tell us the reason. Okay, that's fine. But what is your availability? Do you think you'll be here the rest of the year? Sam McDowell asked that question, I think, finally at the end. And his response was, yeah, I'll be here the rest of the year. That was very important, I think. Take the reasoning out of it. We're not going to find that out. Okay. But is it something that in 3 weeks you would be away from the team again? And his answer there was, I'm going to be with the team the rest of the year.
I think for me, the thing that stands out about it, at least, and look, he doesn't, it's bizarre. Like, I think in most cases you find out what these things are, but as I've said on the show before, he doesn't owe me an explanation or owe anybody an explanation for why he was gone, but it is weird to not know. Like, there is part of me that is like, this is uncommon. And so, like, him wanting to keep it to himself, people get a choice in the personal things that they share or don't share. So that, to me, is not uncommon and does not stand out as being difficult or difficult to understand. But I do think the most important thing, as you mentioned, is at the end. Are you available now going forward in perpetuity? And I don't just mean for the rest of this season. Is this a thing? I don't think it's ever unfair to say, is this a thing do you ever expect will keep you away from football for a length of time ever without telling me the thing that it is?
Right.
Is this a thing that could reoccur in a sense that we got to know if you're available every game for the rest of the way? That is not an unfair thing to know. So I am glad that was here at the end. I think it was Jesse Newell maybe asked that there at the end.
Oh, was it Jesse? I don't know. I thought it was. Anyway, either way, I thought that was the most important question of the sequence of questions there was just, yeah, I'm going to be with this team the rest of the year. I think that's the, if you're a Chiefs fan, to me, that's the part. If you don't care about any of the other stuff, that's fine. The part you should care about, and certainly the Chiefs care about from a football end, is are you going to be available with us the rest of the way? And you got his answer to it there. All right, coming up next, guys, we will get back into a little bit on the side of things with the Chiefs offensively and offensively at home versus on the road, plus the random question of the day next.
This is Cody and Gold on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.